What does this look like? We have no idea where to start. Then God began to move. God began to show us what He want us to do this weekend. And we thought, well, we're going to have probably four or five small group. And God said, nope, I want 11. So I want to share a number with you. Between Friday night and Saturday, on this campus, we've had a total of a little over 400 people. So as we approach this different topic, different a weekend, I want to kind of give a highlight for those that didn't make it Friday and Saturday night. Sam started us off by connecting people. He talked to us about why we connect, and if we connected with people because the intentions of changing their life, intentions of giving them the ability to fall on their face and become a Christian. Do we connect people enough? Do we connect with our friends and family? Sam shared a statistic that I wanted to share with the large group. Sam found that 86% of first-time attendees come because someone personally invited them. That's a large number. So 86% of people come to church the first time because someone personally invited them. He also shared that I think it was around 3 to 4% people come to church because of brochures and packets and mail-outs. Folks, it's not the church's responsibility to reach out. It's our individual responsibility to reach out and connect. Tommy come up on Saturday, and his message was for serving others. Tommy says that serving others is a matter of a heart. You've heard the terminology, a servant's heart. You have a servant's heart. It is a matter of the heart. And Tommy explained to us that serving others requires an attitude, and the right aptitude, and the right application. And Brother Edwin comes Saturday night and shared hope with us. Brother Edwin talked about we have an obligation to share hope. We have an obligation of a Christian, becoming a Christian, we have an obligation to share that with others so they can find Jesus Christ. And we have an obligation to share hope so people do not die and go to hell. I have had the opportunity to preach at Memphis Union Mission a few times. I've had the opportunity to preach at Honduras. I've never had the opportunity to stand before you as a church to preach, and I am excited about it, and I'm thankful for our staff to allow me to do that. The first time that I preached in Honduras was probably the first time that I ever preached. So obviously we have to work through interpreters, and that's the first time that I've ever done that. I'm not going to preach my sermon in Spanish because it wouldn't go very well. But after it was over with, I think Brother Tommy come up to me and said, Joe, that's a good sermon, all three of them. Because you were standing there for 90 minutes. So I wanted to start off, I've got my notebook somewhere, oh here it is, over here. So y'all get ready. Chick-fil-A is not open today, so Zaxby's going to be in a little while. So y'all just get ready. We're gonna dive into this. No, this is science that I borrowed from Amanda, and y'all don't want me to teach that for sure. But anyway, thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. During Sunday school lessons, if you were in Sunday school class, you read about this message, and you read this passage, and you studied and you answered questions about this passage and how we can encounter God. So I'm going to read this passage. We're going to read Daniel 3, 13 through 28. As I make my way through this, understand that when I read this, I'm going to be reading it from my notes, which is from the Bible. So as we read through this together, and then we'll continue to worship. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 through 28 says this. In a fury of rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my God or worship the gold statue I had set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the horn, the drums, and every kind of music, fall down on and worship the statue I've made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown in the furnace of the blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the flames of the blazing fire. And he rescue us from the power of you, the king. But if he does not rescue us, we want you, the king, to know that we will not serve your God or worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than customary. And he commanded some of the strong soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of the blazing fire. So these men, in their trousers, their robes, their head covering, and other clothes, were tied up, thrown in the furnace of the blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of the blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped in alarm. He said to his advisors, didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire? Yes, of course, your majesty, they replied, the king. He explained, look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door, furnace of the blazing fire, and called out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you serve the Most High God. Come out. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. Then the satraps, prefects, and governors of the king's advisors gathered around and saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar explained, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve and worship any god except their own. So many of you are probably familiar with that passage. If you've been in church for some time, some of you have studied that passage maybe and have a little bit of take on it. But what we want to talk about today is encounter God. Because as we look at our church mission, encounter God, connect people, serve others, and share hope, the encounter God piece of it kind of channels the rest of the vision and saying that if we encounter God, those other things kind of come in play. So it's kind of more of a circle. So the king threatened with a furnace. So as you look at that and you think about your own life, and typically we don't have a statue that we set up as a god. If you reach in your pocket, you probably have a telephone. And if we are on our telephone on Facebook more than we are in this Bible, I confess, then that becomes your God. If we're sitting in front of the TV instead of in our scripture, I confess, that becomes your God. So the king threatened them with the fiery furnace. So these men had trials in their life, as many of us do, and we think about what that could cost them. And they believed so much in the power of God that He would deliver them from the furnace. So let me ask you this question this morning, church. When you became a Christian, if you've been a Christian for 6 weeks or 60 years, when you became a Christian, there was something inside of you, and that is God. He came over you, He consumed you, He took control of your life. So since that point, whatever that point is, let me ask you this, church, what has it cost you? What has being a Christian cost you? You say, Joe, you don't understand. I tithe every Sunday. That's not sacrifice, that's obedience. That's not sacrifice, that's not robbing God. Joe, you don't understand. I serve. Well, is your heart in the right location to serve? Tommy talked about random acts of kindness. There's a difference in a random act of kindness than serving God. There's a difference. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed the power of God that He would deliver them in the furnace. They were not going to worship that idol no matter what. If it cost them their life, they were ready for that. If that door burst open and there was some gentleman coming that door and says, I want everybody to confess that there is no God, or I'm going to end your life. It's that simple. What would you do? There are people meeting around this world, maybe this very hour, that have sacrificed their life to be able to congregate and worship God. Their government has said, no, you can't worship God. We're going to execute you if you do. But there are people around this world that are giving that up so they can worship God. I have an illustration that I want to share with you that help us to define that a little bit more. So as I pull this out, maybe it won't get tangled up. You may have seen this before, and if you have, don't give the answer. But so as I pull this rope across this stage, let's say this rope represents a timeline and represents your very existence. One day, we're going to have eternity, and it's going to go on forever and ever. So let's just say this little red part right here represents our life. Because the Bible teaches us life is just a vapor. And as you get older, it becomes quicker and quicker and quicker. So some of us spend this red part of our life, if I could get right here, and I could get in high school, and I can forget my middle school friends, I can serve God better. Well, if I could get right here and get out of college and get me a full-time job, I have more time to serve and worship God. Well, wait a minute. If I get over here and I get in retirement because I've worked all this life for this span, now I have plenty of time. I'm going to worship and serve God. So we consume ourselves with what ifs in this short span instead of wondering what eternity looks like. Because friends, as you know, you're going to spend eternity in one or two places. You're going to spend eternity in heaven, or you're going to spend eternity in hell. And if you wonder, what if in this lifespan, and you forget focus on this, this is a bigger end of the rope, is it not? So when we think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wasn't consumed by what if. They were consumed by what if. So as you look at your life and you examine what you've done and how you managed to get where you are, think about what eternity looks like. And so just consider the last breath when you meet God face to face. And He says, Joe, what did you do with my son? What did you do? I gave you all this stuff. I gave you a home. I gave you a lovely wife, a lovely family. I gave you a good job. But you were consumed by your TV. You were consumed by your internet. You were consumed by other things instead of what I wanted you to be consumed with. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was willing to give their life to serve their God. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage as they threw them in the furnace fire. I can picture him sitting back in his chair, aggravated that these three guys are rebellious to him as a king. And I can just picture calling those strong men, tie them up. I'm tired of looking at them. Let's fire this thing up 7 times normally than what we do. And as they began to get thrown in the fire was so hot, it teaches us that the men that were throwing them in died because of the fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into this fire. So as the king is sitting there laughing inside, saying, I'm fixing to take care of this problem. I'm fixing to take care of these people that are rebellious against me. As he's sitting there eating his olives, if you can imagine, he's sitting there, wait a minute. I don't see three, I see four. Not only do I not see three, I see four. And not only do I see four, they're not bound. They're walking around in the fire. So God has delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for their sacrifice. God has met them where they are in their lowest moment of their life, sacrificially, and said, here I am. The king is blown away, as you can imagine. As you can imagine, the king says, I don't understand how this is possible. So he says to his servants, do you see what I see? There's four of them. They were delivered from the fire. They were delivered so much from the fire that when the king shouted out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Come out of that fire. The word says that the men came out and the fire didn't even have a trace. If you've been around a campfire roasting marshmallows before, it don't take very long to smell like a campfire. Doesn't take very long. It takes a matter of seconds to smell like a campfire. The Word teaches us that God delivered these three men so much that not a hair on their head was singed. I personally wouldn't have that much of a problem. But it says not a hair on their head was singed and their clothes didn't smell like smoke. So God delivered them in such a way that He just used them to show this king that the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served was more powerful than the king. The God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is more powerful than the king that was over the land. Is the God that they serve the same God that you serve? When we talk about encounter God, you can go a lot of different ways with that. So when I was asked to do this and participate in this and was talking about encountering God, there's many passages in the Bible that you could lead down a road with. But I believe that God led us down this path. When we started this out a little over 8 weeks ago, we had no indication. We had no indication of what was going to happen. We had no indication of the next 8 weeks and how they were going to be preached. And lo and behold, our speaker spoke on encountering God. I don't believe in chances, church. I believe in the power of God. Amen. When we were getting kids' packets together for this weekend, some of them had already begun to get put together. I opened one of the sacks, and it had been from quite some time ago, last time we had no kids' time. In that kid packet is a coloring page. That coloring page is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Church, I don't believe in chances. I don't believe in chances. I believe in the power of God. And I believe in the power of God in such a way that if we are ready to have an encounter with God, He is there. If we're ready, He's already there. It's not God. He don't want to have an encounter with Himself. He wants to have an encounter with the person that He created. He created and put breath in you so you can live a life for Him. He didn't create people in His own image, because that's what He teaches us. We're created in God's image. He didn't create people not for them not to worship Him. He created people so they would honor Him and worship Him. Amen. What a wonderful example of these three men, the faith that they had. To lay it all out, to say, God, I trust you no matter what. If I get thrown in this fire and it consumes me and I die, I'm ready for that. Are you ready for that this morning? We talked about, or we sung about rather, revival. Let revival come. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed or not, but our men that was in the choir was our deacon body. Did they sound good? I think they sounded good. I do. I appreciate that fact. Committing to serve God no matter what, no matter the consequences. As you walk out these doors today, you will probably go to lunch as if I. And I want you to think about what being a Christian has cost you. I asked that earlier, so maybe you've had time to think about it. How many of us have been a Christian for quite some time, has never led someone to Christ? If you have the cure for cancer, do you not want to share it? You have the cure for eternal death. Would you not want to share it? I'm going to show this video. This video I'm about to show is Michael Jr. Michael Jr. is a comedian. If you've not heard of Michael Jr. or seen any of his work, I encourage you to go on that internet and look at some of Michael Jr.'s work. He is a comedian that we saw several years at a men's conference, and I'm not necessarily followed him, but sometime his name pops up, and a video pop up, and I like to see that. I want to show you a video about him. When he goes through his act, his routine, sometimes he has a terminology called break time. So when he does his act, he has his jokes, and he just stops, and he pulls up a chair in the middle of the stage, and he just talks to the audience and asks the audience different questions. And as you can imagine, funny just takes place, and he meets interesting people and those things. So we're going to watch this video, and we're going to talk a little bit more.
Well, what do you do for a living, Daryl?
I work at Oak Ridge Military Academy. I'm the music director there.
Musical director at Oak Ridge Musical Academy.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. You got a deep voice, man. I would not want to get you mad. Jonathan, come here. You're like, oh, snap. Nine Jonathan show up. Amazing, dude. So you're a musical director. Cool.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Let me hear. We didn't plan this. Just so y'all know, we didn't plan this at all. I'm just randomly talking. Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Now, once you give me the version, is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now, right now, I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
See, church, when Mr. Darrell there was asked to sing Amazing Grace, he knew what he was doing. As you come in here this morning, you knew what you were doing. As he asked to sing the other version when he got stabbed in the back or his uncle got shot, he knew why he was doing it. See, when your why becomes your focus, your what becomes more powerful. When you understand why you serve and understand why you worship, and hopefully it's because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe stepped out into heaven and said, you know what? I will sacrifice my life for you. If we understand why, we serve, our what becomes more powerful. If we understand why we have an encounter with God, our what becomes more powerful. We have been praying for the last 8 to 10 weeks, about a weekend. Many of you have reached out to me personally. Many of you have reached out to through email or text or even this morning and said, I have been praying for this weekend. I hope it goes well. Church, the vision that our church has, encounter God, connect people, serve others, and share hope, is always on our bulletin. Tommy mentioned it yesterday, but I wanted to mention it as well. As our speakers got ready to prepare, we wanted to meet with our church staff, and we wanted to gain the heartbeat of our church staff and understand where this really came from. Where this came from is God. When we sat in that room, the four speakers and our staff was just pouring their heart out to understand these different points. It was obvious to the group and obvious to me that the points was not just put together because we wanted it to sound good. It was put together because that's what God wants us to do. And everything that our church does, you may not understand this or know this, but I want to tell you, everything that our church does, every mission that we go on, every event that we do, everything that we do, every Lead You class that we do, everything, I can't say it enough, everything that First Baptist Church Olive Branch does has at least one of these in mind. If it doesn't, it's not for us. Because that's what God wants First Baptist Church Olive Branch to be. He wants First Baptist Church Olive Branch to be have an encounter with Him. He wants First Baptist Church Olive Branch to connect with people and to serve others and to share hope. That's what He wants from our church. What do you want from Him? Some of the questions that we had this weekend was, how can I be engaged more? What can I do to change? God is going to change only a heart that is ready for change. So church, as we approach this new year, I want to use this event as not something that, okay, today and in a little bit, we're going to be over. We're going to pray. It's going to be over. We're done. We had a great time. Fantastic. Now what? What do we do with it? What do we do with the new relationships that we built in our small groups? What do we do with the message that Sam and Tommy and Edwin provided for us? What do we do with that? Apply that, church. If we're going to be a church that wants an awaken, it starts in the heart. It doesn't start with our voice. It doesn't start with what music we have. It doesn't start with where you sit. It doesn't start with anything except your heart. So church, if we're going to be a church that encounters God and we connect people and we serve others and we share hope, we have to get connected with God. And the first step could be salvation. If you never had the opportunity to pray and receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, now's the time. We're not promised tomorrow. But these other three points after encountering God can't really happen the way God wants it to happen until the first step is giving your life to Christ. And what does that look like for you personally? Well, what does it cost you? What have you done to serve God that you put something else aside? What have you done so much that consumed you that you say, I'm not going to do X, Y, Z because I'm plugged into my church and I want to follow what God wants me to do. There was, like I said, a little over 400 people in the last 2 days. And you look at numbers, if we want to look at numbers for a moment, we average around 300, 325, something to that neighborhood. And we have over 200 Friday night, or right at 200 Friday night and right at 200 Saturday. Well, more than half of our people want something different. They want something to connect themselves with. They want something to encounter God with. And the purpose of this weekend was not to have something different, because the church mission statement has been there for quite some time. Not to have something different. Not to give you an opportunity to see something different, but to give our church an opportunity to hear from our lay leaders and to hear from you as a church. One of the things that you have to do in order to encounter God, church, is you have to confess your sins. There's not a day that goes by I don't struggle with sin. If I told you otherwise, I'd be looking you face to face and tell you that's not the truth. There's not a day that goes by that I don't struggle with it. And I believe with all my heart, if you have blood in your veins, you're the same way as I am. But the good thing about it is you're not alone. The good thing about it is there's a God that hung on that cross and He had you in mind. And when He stretched out His arms and they nailed Him, He had you in mind. He had your sins that you hadn't even committed yet because you hadn't born. He had your sins that you're going to commit tomorrow because He already knows you're going to fall short because He teaches us that. He already has that in mind. And the good part about that, even better part about that is He don't remind us of those sins. He doesn't care what our past looks like. He wants to know what our future looks like. So I'm going to ask Nick to come and we're going to have a time of invitation. Church, this is a time where you can come and become a member of First Baptist Church. I'm not going to be speaking next week, so please come back. It's all right. This could be a time where you felt God moving this weekend and something clicked. Something needs to change in my heart. This could be a time where you come and pray. This could be a time where you reconnect with people that you have disagreements with. So as Nick has a message within the song, begins to sing, church, I ask that you would come and you consider this question. What has being a Christian cost me? Am I willing to give my life for the God that I serve? That's a tough question. Even as I'm asking it out loud, I'm reflecting that on my own. Am I willing to give my life for the God that I serve? And when we get to a point when we're willing to give our life for the God that we serve, no other encounter we have matters. When we put Him first, everything else falls in place. When our attitude is connected, everything else is in line. So I ask you to come and pray.